The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. We are diving deep today into a figure whose life, well, really proves that genius isn't defined by your pedigree, but by persistent curiosity and character. We're exploring the comprehensive biography of Michael Faraday, written by Frank A.J.L. James.
And this is the man who fundamentally powered the modern world.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about the age of electricity,
right,
the generator, the electric motor, the transformer, Faraday laid the experimental groundwork for all of it. He was the experimental genius who took these, you know, these previously invisible forces like electricity and magnetism and showed humanity how they worked.
It's an incredible story.
It completely changed the known universe.
And his story is genuinely radical. I mean, he was the son of a blacksmith, grew up poor, received almost no formal schooling, and yet he rises to become one of the world's most influential scientists in Victorian Britain.
Right.
So our mission in this deep dive is to understand not just what he discovered, but how he discovered it, how his deeply held personal worldview was the very engine of his science.
And that integration of the personal and the revolutionary is exactly why James's biography is so essential.
Yeah.
He doesn't just list the facts. He really gets into the why.
And James is in a unique position to do that.
Yeah.
He's not just some historian writing from a distance. He's operating right from the source.
That's exactly right. Frank A.J.L. James is a professor of the history of science at the Royal Institution of Great Britain.
The actual place.
The actual place. The building where Faraday worked and lived and performed his monumental experiments for nearly five decades. James has that connection to the physical space, and you can feel it.
But what really gives him this incredible authority is his work editing the correspondence of Michael Faraday.
Yes, and this wasn't just some quick project. We're talking about a multi-volume deep dive into thousands of Faraday's original letters and scientific notebooks. So James hasn't just read the success stories. He's seen the scribbles, the failures, the private struggles, and, you know, the spiritual reflections that fuel the genius.
So he has the full picture.
The full picture. And that access lets him present a really distinctive perspective. He connects the technical details of electromagnetic theory with the intense social, cultural, and profoundly religious context of 19th century England.
He bridges that gap between the huge scientific achievement and the, well, the humble, complex man who achieved it.
Exactly.
So when James pulls all this together, what's the central revelation? What's the book's core argument about how Faraday succeeded?
The argument is that you absolutely cannot understand his revolutionary achievements in isolation. You have to look at his background. The key unifying force of his life was his profound religious faith, specifically his adherence to Sandemanian Christianity combined with his humble origins.
We should probably pause on that because that faith is so central to the whole story. For context, Sandemanianism was this intensely austere, non-hierarchical Christian sect.
Exactly. They valued scriptural purity, communal equality, and they actively rejected worldly honors and wealth. And this theological conviction gave Faraday this core belief that the universe was the work of a single, unified, and economical creator.
So his science was a direct pursuit of that theology.
It was.
He believed that if the cosmos was divinely ordered by one creator, then all these seemingly separate forces, electricity, magnetism, light, they must be connected by a single, simple law.
And that conviction was the lifelong engine of his scientific search. The book charts that entire journey, starting with Faraday as this poor apprentice bookbinder, just spending his free time reading and absorbing the scientific texts he was supposed to be binding.
That was his real laboratory at first.
It was his university.
Which then leads him to get a very menial position at the prestigious Royal Institution and eventually rising through this complicated mentorship with Humphrey Davy before getting to those breakthroughs that redefined physics.
And James makes sure the scope goes beyond just the lab bench. It covers his critical role as a public educator, the famous Christmas lectures.
Still going today.
Still going today. And his practical government advisory work and the incredible impact of his humility. I mean, refusing a knighthood.
Let's look closer at that start. Before the lab, there was the shop. James really emphasizes that working class origin, the blacksmith's son with, you know, very limited formal schooling.
The apprenticeship was his university. That's the best way to put it. He didn't have the abstract mathematical training of his peers, but what he developed was a meticulous, hands-on methodology. He learned by doing, by watching, and by diligent note-taking, which he got from his bookbinding trade.
And the critical turning point, of course, was attending Humphrey Davy's lectures. He didn't just listen. He meticulously transcribed them, bound them into this polished volume, and basically submitted it as a job application to the greatest chemist in the world.
The audacity of it. But it worked.
It got him in the door, but it set up this complicated dynamic. Davy gave him access to the heart of British science. But he was always very clear about Faraday's place in the rigid class structure. He was a servant.
And the book really highlights that 18-month European tour with Davy and his wife, Lady Davy, in the 1810s. Imagine this. You're the person who is about to revolutionize the world, and you're being forced to act as a valet.
While enduring the snobbery of your mentor's wife.
Exactly. And James suggests that constant reminder of his low social standing didn't crush him. It just reinforced his quiet, methodical determination to let his results speak louder than any title.
And his results were deafening. By the 1820s, he achieved electromagnetic rotation in 1821.
Which is the foundational concept of the electric motor, a current-carrying wire rotating around the magnet. He took electricity and made it produce motion for the first time.
But the real game changer, the big one, came a decade later, in 1831. Electromagnetic induction. This is the law that a changing magnetic field induces an electric current in a wire.
And this wasn't just interesting. If rotation gives us the motor, induction gives us the electric generator and the transformer. It is literally the power infrastructure of every modern city.
And this revolutionary finding led to his most profound conceptual leap. The idea of the field.
Right, because most scientists at the time believed in Newtonian action at a distance.
Wait, action at a distance? That sounds almost like magic, like some kind of instantaneous influence across empty space.
That's pretty much what it was. Yeah. The idea that the sun instantly affected the Earth's orbit, with nothing physical needing to travel between them. Faraday, with his Sandemanian belief in the unified reality of the cosmos, he hated this idea. He insisted there had to be a physical connection.
So instead, he visualized it.
Precisely. He visualized forces using these lines of force that physically existed, that filled the space around a magnet or a wire. The concept of the field, this invisible but very real entity that mediates force, was completely revolutionary.
And totally non-mathematical. It was intuitive.
And highly radical. It showed the power of a practical, hands-on mind over pure abstraction.
And this conviction for unity, it just drove all of his later work. If electricity and magnetism were linked, well, why not light? His theological drive just compelled him to keep searching.
And that search paid off in 1845. The discovery of the magneto-optical effect, now called the Faraday effect, he showed that a magnetic field could actually rotate the plane of polarized light.
The first experimental proof that electromagnetism and light were connected.
For Faraday, this was the ultimate validation. It was proof of his belief in the unity of nature.
It's amazing. This visual, conceptual thinker, someone who lacked advanced math training, he basically required a mathematical error to formalize his vision.
And that error was James Clerk Maxwell. Maxwell saw the profound fundamental truth in Faraday's non-mathematical field concepts. He took those visual lines of force and translated them into the language of mathematics.
Maxwell's equations.
Maxwell's equations. Unifying electricity, magnetism, and light into one coherent theory. Faraday's physical intuition literally paved the way for modern physics.
Looking at the totality of James's portrayal, what are the biggest takeaways for us today? The first has to be that surprising link between faith and inquiry.
It really is the driving story of the book. His Sandemanian faith was his intellectual engine. The search for a single, unified creator drove his decades-long search for the unification of natural forces. I mean, it just shows how a deep, consistent personal conviction can be the bedrock for sustained, paradigm-shifting innovation.
Then there's his experimental methodology. His success wasn't random at all. It was systematic. Careful observation, meticulous note-taking, and the methodical variation of conditions.
He was completely committed to letting nature reveal its secrets through testing, rather than forcing nature to fit some preconceived theory. And the value there is that systematic, hands-on engagement in any field really often yields breakthroughs that pure academic abstraction just misses.
And we can't forget the power of being an outsider. The fact that the blacksmith's son succeeded without traditional credentials proves merit can transcend class barriers. But more importantly, that lack of formal math training, it freed him to think visually.
Right, in terms of field lines. It turned out to be his greatest intellectual advantage.
Finally, just integrity and humility. Refusing honors like the knighthood wasn't some kind of false modesty. It was a deeply held principle rooted in his Sandemanian belief that worldly status was just a distraction from his true duty to science and to God.
True authority is earned through contribution and character, not titles.
James's biography is filled with these incredible insights, and Faraday's notebooks give us these fantastic, concise mantras that really summarize his whole philosophy.
The one that just encapsulates his work ethic, his practical mantra is work, finish, publish.
That's brilliant. It covers everything. The relentless experimentation, the discipline to see projects through to a conclusion, and then the ethical duty to share your findings with the broader community for review and advancement.
He also offered this perspective on balancing imagination with rigor. Nothing is too wonderful to be true if it be consistent with the laws of nature.
And that balance is so key. He was imaginative enough to entertain these radical ideas, like invisible field lines filling all of space, but he was rigorous enough to insist that they must be testable. They had to be verifiable against empirical law, imagination disciplined by data.
Exactly. And the one that really captures his character relating to his refusal of high honors is, I must remain plain Michael Faraday to the last.
A profound statement. It just confirms his conviction that worldly status was immaterial, entirely consistent with a life dedicated to the quiet pursuit of truth. So how do we take the lessons from this book and apply them today, even if we're not building electric motors in our garage?
Well, application number one is self-education and curiosity. Faraday's path is an icon for self-directed learning. It really emphasizes that discipline and deep curiosity, even without formal credentials, can lead to absolute mastery in any field.
And application two has to be resilience in innovation. His decade-long search for induction involved countless failed experiments.
So many.
That shows the necessity and just raw persistence when you're pursuing paradigm-shifting ideas. The lesson is simple. Don't dismiss unexpected or failed results. They might be the very anomalies that lead to your breakthrough.
Finally, application three. Communication strategy. His success as a public educator through those Christmas lectures shows the effectiveness of using visual analogies and concrete demonstrations to communicate complex concepts. If you're an expert, your job isn't done until you've successfully translated your knowledge into a form that's accessible.
This has been a truly remarkable deep dive. What's the single learned insight that stands out most to you from James's biography?
For me, I realized that scientific genius stems not just from an innate intellectual capability, but from the integration of character patience, profound humility, honesty, with this ruthless, methodical investigation. His whole life was woven directly into his science.
What surprised me most was that his visual concept of the field, an idea that was initially dismissed by his mathematically trained peers, was the very thing that Maxwell later proved to be correct. It just underscores the revolutionary power of non-traditional visual thinking when you're challenging established frameworks.
And Faraday believed all forces were unified. While Maxwell did unify electromagnetism and light, Faraday failed to link E and M to gravity. So the final provocation we want to leave you with is this. What fundamental concept are we in modern science or technology, or maybe even in social thought, currently trying to unify? And what surprising personal conviction might be needed to find the answer?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.